such an honor to have Brother and Sister Johnson here. They were, this morning they spoke at his ambassadors on the west side, Brother George O'Neill's, the pastor, and Brother George, Sister Pam, the O'Neill's, and then this afternoon they were spoken African International with Brother Claude Abka, spoke to their congregation. We have him here this evening to speak to us. They're from Houston, Texas, via the country of Africa to Madison. Let's give a warm welcome to Brother Johnson.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. 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 Buona Yesu Asifiwe. Amen. Asifiwe sana. Amen. Amen. I said praise the Lord in Swahili. Amen. It's a joy to be able to come together in the house of the Lord. And it's a joy always to be able to lift our voice in praise and worship to God. Amen. We're very happy to be here with you. And I would like to just say thank you to Brother Grant for allowing us this opportunity to be here. Amen. And we have had a wonderful day. Started off early this morning with Brother O'Neill and then Brother Abga for the international service. Amen. We serve a great God. Amen. We serve a God who is able to do anything. Amen. Amen. And we sing the song often, "What a Mighty God We Serve." Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adores Him. What a mighty God we serve. Praise God. I appreciate the opportunity to worship the Lord, and I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm especially happy to be here because this church has been a partner with us now for probably at least 5 or 6 years. And so I want to say thank you, first of all, to Calvary Gospel Church for what you do for missions. And so as I am sharing with you what God has done in Africa, especially in Rwanda and Ethiopia, I want you to understand that everything that I'm saying, you have a part of that. Amen. You might not have been there, but you've had a part in that. So throughout this whole story, I want you just to remember that, okay? Praise God. And so I want to share with you a little bit of what God has done. But in beginning, perhaps I would, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, I want to read a few verses of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 11. I like to read from Hebrews 11. Obviously, you can understand that it is the chapter of faith. Verse number one, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report." And if you go down to verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith." Just remember that part, not seen as yet. You see, I believe that God wants us to walk by faith. Amen. As I have said, even in the services today, faith is something that is so simple, but yet it is a subject that I don't believe that we can ever exhaust it. Because every day we learn something about our relationship with God and about faith. Every one of you, if you walk by faith, you experience something different with God every day. Amen. So to set up here and open it up and say, we have this handbook and you're going to follow this handbook. Unfortunately, it's not. It's a walk by faith. Praise God. And so we read on verse number 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out not knowing whither he went. Amen. Noah did not understand flood. He had never seen a flood before. Abraham didn't know where he was going. He had never been there before. Amen. Have any of you lived in June the 22nd, 2015? Raise your hand if you've been there. No, I'm sorry, but nobody has been alive yet in June the 22nd, 2015. Amen. We could read on down. Let's go down to verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Praise God. Amen. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God has called me to Africa. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God has called us to Rwanda and Ethiopia. Amen. And I know that every day may be different. Every little thing may be different. Things may not go exactly like I think they might go. Amen. But it doesn't stop me from living for God. Amen. I don't lay in bed in fear, afraid to get up because I don't know what's going to happen. Amen. But I get up, I have my agenda. I know what I'm going to be doing on this day. And so I get up and I begin. It's just like as simply as walking. Nobody walks around looking at their feet. Amen? But we walk, we know exactly where we're going. It's that simple. Praise God. So I want to share with you a little bit of what God has done in Africa. First of all, let me just say a little bit about what we are doing in Ethiopia. Ethiopia is known as the oldest country in the world, and you begin reading about Ethiopia in the book of Genesis. Amen. What we have been doing in the country of Ethiopia, we live in Rwanda, but we make about 4 trips a year up to the country of Ethiopia. And what we are doing, we are working with the preachers that we have there. We spend a lot of time with training. I believe in training. I believe that somehow I must multiply myself. If we're ever going to reach the world, we all have to be a part of it. Amen. It's not just left up to one person, but if you have been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are obligated to reach somebody else with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so Ethiopia has a population of more than 90 million people. And the only way that we can reach Ethiopia with the gospel is we must multiply ourselves as quickly as we can. So we go up there about 4 times a year and we spend times of training with the preachers. It's exciting to watch what God is doing. We teach them, and then I always tell them, you take what you learn and you take it back to your church. Praise God. It's exciting to hear reports of God filling people with the Holy Ghost and people being baptized. We are excited about the revival that is taking place in Ethiopia. But I would like to quickly share with you the story of Rwanda. Rwanda is a country that many people, when they hear me say that I'm missionary to Rwanda, usually I get a question very quickly about the genocide of 1994. Rwanda indeed is a very troubled country and has been a troubled country for many years. If you read into the history of Rwanda, you'll find that even in the late 1950s, they had some times just like the genocide of 94. Even today, Rwanda is still troubled by the same problem. The government has set things in place within the government, and they're trying to keep something like that from happening again. But yet it makes, because of that, it makes living in Rwanda a little bit difficult. The United Pentecostal Church, we've never had our church registered in that country. But when God called us and began speaking with us about going to Rwanda, we made our first trip to Rwanda in October of 2000. And then we arrived in Rwanda in January of 2004 to begin the process of organizing our church in that country. When we arrived there, obviously I had to go through a process of finding out what was involved in just getting our church registered with the government. And I quickly found out that in Rwanda there are many steps to the government. Amen. And it takes a long process. Even I'm talking to you tonight about, I'm telling you of like 10 years of what God has done, okay? So I'm going to rush as quickly as I can with the story because I wouldn't even have time if I tried to tell you everything about Rwanda. But anyway, we arrived there in January of 2004. As I begin, we got all of our documents, and everything that we prepared document-wise had to be in three languages. It had to be, first of all, because I was the one writing it, it could be in English first. The next language, it had to be in Kinyarwanda, and the next language, it had to be in French. Every document, any letters, constitution, everything that I submitted, it had to be in three languages. And so it took a little bit of time because I had to find someone who could translate into Kinyarwanda, someone who could translate my constitution and letters into French. By the time we got everything ready, it was somewhere around the end of March that we started submitting everything to the government. As I started going to the government offices, the people were very kind with me. They would take my documents, they would smile at me, and being an American, I would look at them and I was wanting to know, when would I actually have the legal registration? Well, unfortunately, I have lived in Africa for a long time, and I know that things don't happen quickly. We have a saying in Kiswahili, haraka haraka haina baraka, and that simply says to hurry has no blessing. So quickly you find that speed is not the most important thing. Amen. And so people would be nice to me. They would accept my documents, and then they would just smile and say thank you, and I would leave. And after going to many different offices and not getting any response, not getting any progress, I finally went into one office one day, and the man was very kind. I began to say, you know, I've been to the mayor's office. I've been to this office. I've been to this office. And I'm not getting any response to understand just exactly what's going to happen. And finally this man looked at me and he said, I think you don't realize or know, but the government wrote a letter in February to all government offices stopping church registration. Well, now what that means for me as a foreigner is I cannot live in the country except we have an organization that is legally registered with the government. And so anyway, We were not able to stay in Rwanda. We ended up having to just make trips in and out. The nice thing was that I could meet with people one-on-one. If I was invited into a church and to preach, I could fulfill that. But the government told me very plainly that not to allow somebody to trick me into trying to open up a church or try to do something that might jeopardize our getting a legal registration. So the first few years, I had to be very careful with everything that I did. And so finally, in July of 2007, we made a trip to Rwanda, and my normal routine was to walk into a government office, and sometimes I would just go there and I would walk around until somebody would walk up to me and say, "Can I help you?" Amen. And then I would tell them what I was doing and that I wanted to talk to somebody. And so they would take me somewhere and I would get the opportunity to talk to someone. I would start off with my little spiel. "Hi, my name is Lewis Johnson. I'm a missionary with the United Pentecostal Church International. We're wanting to come here to Rwanda and open up our church." I would tell them the United Pentecostal Church is a big church. We have missionaries and churches in Uganda, that's to the north, Burundi to the south, Congo to the west, and Tanzania to the east. Amen. And so I would tell them my story, and I would always get, "Well, the government has stopped church registration. They're not redoing the law yet, and you'll just have to wait." Well, in July, I really felt impressed of the Lord to go to this one particular office, so I went. I have a friend in Rwanda. His name is Bishop Joseph Kamanza. Bishop Joseph, he himself has known about the United Pentecostal Church for a long time. In fact, many years ago, he was actually baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's been my friend since 98. He was with me this particular day, and we went into this office, and we were talking to this man. I told him my story. And so he finally looked at me, and he said, "Missionary," he said, "I'm not supposed to tell you this," but he said, "if you will go outside of the city of Kigali, and you will find a church or a pastor that would be willing to work with you," he said, "you can get a temporary registration." I looked at him and said, "Really?" And so anyway, we finished our conversation and left while Bishop Joseph began to tell me a story. He said about 2 weeks, whenever you called and told me you were coming, he said, "I had a friend of mine that called me up, and he wanted me to write a letter that would give him permission to start a church in a certain area. And he said, I told him to just wait and pray. And so he said, I want to take you and I want to introduce you to him." So we went and I met with Pastor Amabla. We began to talk about what we believe. And I explained to him that we believe in one God. We believe in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. We talked for more than an hour. Finally, Pastor Amabla, he looked at me and he said, "I would like for you to come to my church and teach this to my church." Well, now, I've been a missionary in Africa for a long time, and especially in Rwanda, I know that it's not possible for me to just go to a church. In order for me to go there, he would have to have a meeting with his elders, and they would have to agree. So the next day, Pastor Amabla called me up, and he said, "My elders have agreed, and we want you to come teach us a seminar." So I agreed, and now remember, we're starting a church in Rwanda. I don't speak Kinyarwanda. I'm able to speak Swahili. I'm able to speak a little bit of French. Many times whenever I preach in Rwanda, even nowadays, I preach in a little bit of Swahili, French, and English. Amen. All in one sermon. Amen. And so anyway, I didn't have a translator. I have another friend that I had met, and so I called him up, and he was willing to come and translate for me. But even with his coming, he really does not understand about our church and about what we believe. But yet he agreed to come and translate for me. Well, Bishop Joseph also agreed. And so in the first few lessons that we taught, I would just look back to Bishop Joseph to find out if the translation was going across properly. And he assured me that everything was okay. And so we taught for 3 days. At the end of teaching for 3 days, we opened up for questions. And there were some questions about baptism. And there was one particular question about rebaptism. And I took the people to Acts chapter 19, where the Apostle Paul met some of John the Baptist's disciples. And he asked them the question, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said, "We haven't heard about the Holy Ghost." And so Paul's next question was, "How were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." And so the Bible says that Paul began to preach to them Jesus. And at the end of his preaching, he baptized them in Jesus' name. Praise God. So after teaching that to that group of people, Pastor Amabla finally stood up and he held up his Bible and he was holding it, looking at it. And he said, "Missionary," he said, "I see through all of your teaching and in the scripture that the Bible says I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." He said, "I am ready to be baptized in Jesus' name." And along with that, I baptized 12 of his people in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. And indeed, I was excited about that. I was excited because now then, I don't just have a pastor that's agreeing to work with me, but I'm having a pastor that is agreeing to work with me because of what we teach. Amen. Amen. And so we prepared all of our documents. Long story short, in 3 days, we had temporary approval to preach the gospel in the country of Rwanda. Amen. And we were excited about that because, you see, now then, I have permission to start a church. I have permission. I can organize seminars. I can do anything. But I still can't live there yet. Amen. So I still had to spend a lot of time of traveling back and forth. Very difficult to establish a church when you have to go there maybe about once every 3 months. And I would spend about 2 weeks or so. And I would teach every day. Amen. And so finally, our last term, the term that we just finished, that term began in January of 2011. We started off that term living in the country of Tanzania, in Mwanza, Tanzania. If you look on Google Maps, you can find Mwanza at the very southern point of Lake Victoria. Amen. And so we started out living there. We were living there because it was the closest place that we could live and get back and forth to Kigali as much as possible. And so we were making trips back and forth. Finally, in October of 2011, we made a trip to Rwanda, and I did my normal little routine. I really felt that time to go to a particular government office, the Ministry of Local Affairs. And so we went there, and Bishop Joseph went with me, and he had already told me, "Missionary, they still haven't approved the law. You still have to wait and everything." I said, "You know, Bishop, I hear what you're telling me, but I really feel that we need to go to this office." He said, "Okay, let's go." So we went to this government office, and again, just standing in the hallway, a girl came up and began to talk to Bishop Joseph in Kinyarwanda. Finally, she walked away, and I looked at him. I said, "What'd she say?" She said, "Just a minute." She went into another government office there, and in a moment, she came out and said, "Please come." So we stepped over and went into an office, and I began to talk to the man that was there. And after talking with him for some time, he finally put his hands on a stack of papers he had on his desk. And he said, "You see this stack of papers?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "All of these are churches waiting for legal registration." And I looked at him and I said, "What do I have to do to get my documents in that stack?" He said, "You know, we talked a little bit longer," and he said, "I think you need to go to the Ministry of Justice." And I said, "Okay." Now then, you got to understand, in Rwanda, there's a process. You have to go through the process. I had the village approval. I had the city approval. I had the district approval. I was in the Ministry of Local Affairs. I did not have their approval. Now he's telling me to go to the Ministry of Justice. I told him, I said, but sir, I understand all of these things I have to do. And I was told that I have to get permission from the Ministry of Local Affairs before I can go to the Ministry of Justice. He said, you know, many things are changing in Rwanda. And he said, you go to the Ministry of Justice. I said, okay, I will do that. So I stepped out, we left his office, and I looked at Bishop Joseph, and I said, I don't know anybody in the Ministry of Justice. I said to him, I don't even know what the procedure is. I don't know what is required for us to do. I don't know what documents they need. And he looked at me and he said, actually, he said, this is kind of different. He said, I don't really know either what they want you to do now. So anyway, we went home. It was getting late. I dropped him off, and he was walking home. The part of the story that I'm going to tell you now, I actually learned the following day. And Bishop Joseph was walking home. As he was walking home, he met a man along the way. Well, now you've got to understand, Rwanda is very strongly controlled by the government. The government has people that move around throughout the city of Kigali. If they see a group of people or if they see something, they will try to find out what is being said because they want to stop anything that, like the genocide, from happening ever again. So you have to be very careful who you talk to. And so Bishop met this man. They were casually talking. He told him, he said, well, I've been with my missionary friend, and he wants to start a church in Rwanda. And we went to the office, and they told us to go to the Ministry of Justice, but we really don't know exactly what to do. This man was looking at Bishop Joseph, and he looked at him and said, I am a lawyer in the Ministry of Justice. Amen. You see, God has a way of working things out that we don't understand. Amen. And if we're willing to walk with him, God is willing to open doors. I may not understand. Noah had no clue what a flood was. Abraham had no idea exactly where he was going. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Amen. Even Sarah, past age, didn't think it was possible, but yet she judged him faithful. Praise God. You see, if you're willing to walk with God, God is willing to walk with you. If you're willing to step out into the areas where God wants to take you, God is willing to take you. Praise God. It might not happen as quickly as you think. Amen. Amen. But God is faithful. Praise God. God is faithful. So this lawyer told Bishop, he said, you tell that missionary to bring these three things to me tomorrow. And so we quickly got everything prepared. We took the documents he asked for. He told us, he said, you submit everything, get everything registered like it's supposed to be done. And as soon as you get all of that done, he said, you call me. Well, we called him up. We said, everything is submitted. We have everything. They've accepted it, dated. We've got everything received. He came down from his office, walked into the last office where we had been, and we were standing out in the hallway. He went inside and he said to the woman, he said, do you have the papers for the United Pentecostal Church of Rwanda? And she said, yes, I do. And she took them and handed them to him. What would have taken a two-day process, he went down and got the documents and took them up to his office. He said, you come back in 1 week. Amen. So we waited 1 week. He called us up very early in the morning, and I got to his office early. Amen. And as I walked in, he said, I'm sorry. He said, but your papers are not ready. Well, that wasn't an unfamiliar statement to me. Amen. I said, okay. He said the lady that actually signs was called out for an emergency meeting and she had to go for that. But he said, I just recently got a phone call. She is on her way back here. And so I said, okay. He looked at me and he said, do you mind waiting for a few more minutes? And in my mind, I'm thinking, I've been waiting more than 7 years. What's a few more minutes? Praise God. And so we waited in a few minutes. The lady came in and she greeted us and she went on back to her office. And in a moment, the lawyer, he went walking back there. And in about a few minutes or so, he come walking out and he handed me my documents, legal registration for the country of Rwanda. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we were so excited about this door that God had opened. Now then, I can live there. We moved there April of 2012. And I immediately wanted to open a church. That's what I felt like God wanted us to do. And that's exactly what we did. We started a church. We had a group of people that had come to me and asked me if I would open a church in their area. And it was the area where I had been thinking to open a church. And so I said yes. And they asked me if I would be their pastor. I accepted, no problem. Hallelujah. Amen. And we started a church. But remember, we're starting a church. I don't speak Kinyarwanda. Well, you know what? We started out with just somebody who could kind of understand English. Very difficult to translate with somebody who really doesn't understand everything that's being said. But anyway, it worked out okay. But one day, my wife and I were in a restaurant and met a young guy from Uganda. He was actually Rwandan, and he spoke English. And so I began to talk to him and told him what I was doing. And I told him that I was having a problem with the fact that I didn't have anybody to translate for me. And he finally looked at me and he said, missionary, he said, I'll come help you. Well, that was okay. I accepted, was very happy to have him come. But, you know, here he is. His name is Peter. Peter did not understand what we believe. In fact, Peter didn't understand Bible terminology very well in Kinyarwanda. Amen. Well, it was okay. You know, like I said, I've worked with many different languages. We worked with Amharic. We've worked with Kiswahili and many. Amen. So I said, okay, I know how to do this. And but you know what? I wasn't worried because I have a promise. And that promise is God's word will not return void, but it will accomplish that whereunto it is sent. Amen. So even though the translator might not be very well versed, amen, I know that God's word is going to reach its destination. Praise God. So we would preach. Sometimes I would preach the same sermons two or three times. And anyway, we had been teaching a Bible study in Rwanda and at the church one day. And we finished and had gone home and I got a phone call. Peter called me up and he said, pastor, he said, there's someone here wants to meet with you. I told him, I said, make appointment for tomorrow. So I went and met with this man. His name is Pastor Anastas. Pastor Anastas had been a pastor in another church organization. And when we met him, he began to tell me the story of how things were not working out with the church he was with. The leaders were doing some things that he just didn't agree with. And he said, it's just not right. And he began to pray for God to lead him to another church organization. You see, you cannot be independent in Rwanda. You have to be under a church organization. So he began to pray. In the course of his praying, he heard about a Mzungu that was starting another church. The word Mzungu means white man in Swahili. He had heard about this white man that was starting a church somewhere. And he began to pray and felt impressed to try to find me. And so it took him, it's okay, took him about a week or so to find where our church was located. We don't have street names. Just about 6 months before we left, we did get a street name on the street where we live. But we still don't have a number for our house, but we do have a street name. So anyway, it took him a while to find our church. He was telling me the story of how he had looked. And he said, in the course of his story, he said, I believe that God has led me to you. Well, I continued listening to his story. And after listening for about an hour, I finally looked at Pastor Anastasia, and we're having to talk through a translator. I finally looked at him, and I said, you know, Pastor Anastasia, I believe that God has sent you. Amen. We talked for some time, and he agreed to me teaching him a Bible study. At the same time that he agreed for me to teach him a Bible study, he was having a group of people that was meeting in his house, and he wanted me to come to his house and to teach this group of people. And he had to get the approvals of what he needed from the little village where he lived, and he got that. And we went to his house, and I taught a Bible study to Pastor Anastas. The first time that I taught, he really didn't respond too much about the Bible study. He just, you know, I had Peter still translating for me. And so there were some things that wasn't quite getting translated well enough for Pastor Anastas to understand. But anyway, I got him to agree. I had many other Bible studies by this time organized to go teach. And so I got Pastor Anastas and I said, I want you to come go with me. And so to every Bible study, I was taking Pastor Anastas along with me. Finally, after him hearing the Bible study, it's called the Apostolic Faith Bible Study. It talks about the importance of the Word of God. It talks about repentance, the Holy Ghost, baptism, gives examples in the book of Acts and all of this. And so finally, after him listening to the Bible study several times, he finally came up to me and he said, missionary, he said, I see that the Bible says I must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. But not only did I baptize Pastor Anastas, I baptized some of the people, about 10 from the little group that was meeting in his house. I baptized them in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. The exciting thing about Pastor Anastas is one day we were teaching in another place, and I had been teaching the Bible study, and in the Bible study it talks about Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19 is the greatest one God scripture that you can use. Amen. But Pastor Anastas came up to me one day. He had his Bible open and he was to Matthew 28:19. He came up to me and he said, missionary, he said, if there is only one name, he said, there can only be one God. Praise God. Amen. God is doing a wonderful work in the country of Rwanda, and it's all because of his word. We are preaching the word of God everywhere that we go. It is the power of the gospel that will change your life. When you understand and you obey Acts 2:38, repentance, water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, God will fill you with his spirit, and you can experience this joy. Amen. Pastor Anastas has since told me another story. He told me one day, he said, when we first met, he said, you kept talking about word of God, word of God. Everything you would say, he said, you would say word of God. He said, that first time that we met, I didn't understand what you were saying. But he went on to tell me, he said, I now understand the power of the Word of God. Since all of that, Pastor Anastas, I baptized him. He has received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues in our church in Kigali on a Wednesday night. They had a prayer meeting and God filled 13 people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are excited about what God is doing. It is the power of the Word of God. If we will go forth, if you will stand up on the Word of God, if you will preach the Word of God, God can do a work in your life. Amen. Amen. Even tonight, if you don't know the Lord in the power of the Holy Ghost, you can experience this wonderful gift, this gift that will bring joy to your life. Another young man that received the Holy Ghost, his name is John Marie. He received the Holy Ghost on the Wednesday night where 13 people received the Holy Ghost. When he came home and my wife and I had been sick, I wasn't able to be at the church that night. But when he came home, he was bubbling. Amen. He had such joy in his heart for what God had done. Amen. God is doing a work. Amen. And so you see, you might not have been there every time I've baptized somebody. I've since baptized about 15 preachers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But remember this, folks. Every time I put somebody down in Jesus' name, your hands were right there too. Amen. It's because of your support that we're able to go. Praise God. So everything that I have talked about, you have shared in that victory. And it is indeed a victory. Bishop Joseph knows all the problems that we had with getting our church registered. And he tells his friends about me. He tells about our church. And you know what he tells them? He says, this is a miracle church. Praise God. Amen. And indeed, it is a miracle because there are still churches that have been waiting for more than 25 years trying to get legal registration and they don't have it yet today. Amen. So pray for us. Pray that God will continue allowing his word to reach out in the country of Rwanda. Amen. Pastor Anastas, since his receiving the Holy Ghost and becoming a part of our church, he has taught more than 1,000 people Bible studies. Amen. He is excited about the word of God, and we're excited about what God is doing. Amen. Perhaps we can stand tonight. And in just closing, I want to invite you. If you don't know the Lord in the power of the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 that we must repent of our sins. Repentance is your part. Nobody can repent for you. You have to repent for yourself. You have to say to God, God, I am sorry. It's simple as that. Amen. And then whenever you're ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you ask the preacher. And Brother Grant will see that you will be baptized in Jesus' name. That's the preacher's part. But the filling of the Holy Ghost is God's part. Amen. And God is still in that salvation business. And tonight, if you don't know the Lord in the power of the Holy Ghost, you can experience the greatest gift that God has given to man. It is a promise. He has promised it to you, to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. It's the power of the word. If you want a change in your life, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps we can just lift our hands and let us all just pray together. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, oh God, for your power, for your mercy, for your strength. Thank you, oh Lord, for all that you have done. Oh God, we praise you.
You've never experienced this incredible gift. It's available tonight. All you have to do is, we have altar workers. If our altar workers would come, you'd like to experience the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. We have men and women here that would help you, walk you through. It's an incredible, incredible experience to be able to have the God of glory dwelling inside your very soul and your heart. I want to encourage you to come down at this time. If you want to be baptized tonight, come on down. We've got men and women that will talk with you, work with you. If you have any questions, they'll explain things to you. Maybe you have a need. Maybe you're going through some kind of a struggle. Maybe you need a real miracle in your life. And you've tried everything. Why don't you try giving that to the Lord tonight? If you're here and you're sick in body and you need a healing, this is a place to come. Won't you come tonight?